Hi, this is Paula Morrell, and welcome to the Tales from the South podcast. How's everybody doing tonight? So how about tonight's music by Bonnie Montgomery? Do y'all like Bonnie? Arkansas, born and bred, Bonnie Montgomery is a classically trained composer and opera singer by day and country queen by night, bringing her raucous spin on traditional Southern music to honky-tonks throughout the U.S. and Europe. Bonnie's catalog hails from a place where outlaw country saddles up with Americana and folk. She has CDs for sale after the show, and more can be heard at BonnieMontgomeryMusic.com. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to a special edition of Tales from the South, a monthly series we call the Tin Roof Project, where well-known Southerners bring their own true stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Morrell. On my left here, strumming his 1931 National Resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Mark has performed at the legendary King Biscuit Blues Festival in Helena, Arkansas, among many other festivals nationwide. He wrote our theme music and plays for us live each week. And how about our set back here? Y'all like our set? Each show we feature an artist, and tonight our featured artist is Little Rock painter Doug Norton with his painting right here behind me entitled Porch Swing, which is for sale. Our listeners can find out more about this painting and Doug at our website, talesfromthesouth.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern style storytelling? Born and raised in Huntsville, Alabama, Michael Thomas Walker is an actor, singer, and writer who works in film, television, and stage. After graduating from the University of Alabama, he moved to New York City and joined the national tour of Seussical, playing the starring role of Horton. He went on to play Edna Turnblad in the national tour of Hairspray and repeat the role at the Walnut Street Theater in Philadelphia under the direction of Charles Abbott. Bubba, his acclaimed one-man show that he wrote and stars in, recently received Best Variety Show at the United Solo, the world's largest solo theater festival in New York City. Michael is a graduate from Rutgers MFA acting program and lives in New York City. Tonight, Michael picks up the phone and his world is forever changed in a selection from his award-winning show, Bubba. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Thomas Walker.
Thank you guys so much for having me. A couple things before I get started. First of all, I'm Michael, and I have a brother named Stephen, and I had a father who was named Joe Walker. And the three of us, unbeknownst much to my mother's chagrin, called each other Bubba. This was before Larry the Cable Guy and all of that stuff. And so it was always a greeting when you'd pick up the phone. You know, Dad would call and I'd say hello and he'd go, Bubba! So that's where the show came from. And this is an excerpt from that show. Hello? What happened? I'd spend the next 6 months trying to find out the answer to that question. It is Wednesday, February 23rd, 2011. 3 days after I have just gotten out of the hospital from kidney stone surgery, I got a phone call, and this is kind of how it went. Apparently, Dad had left work on Saturday, went to the pharmacy, got a prescription filled, which he never opened. He went home, ate an entire pizza by himself, wanted to listen to his music, so he went into the living room, but the CD player was too high up, and he couldn't reach it. So he went out to his car, put in CD, and somewhere around, he's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. He had a heart attack and died. That was the official story. It's now Wednesday. I called my brother. Hey, Bubba. Bubba, what's going on? Have you talked to Mom yet? No. Why? They found Dad in his car this morning. Are you kidding me? No. No, I'm not. I'm really sorry, Stephen. It was suicide, wasn't it? Hey, I don't know. Aunt B says she doesn't think it was, but I don't know if I believe her. Oh, I'm so mad at him. I can't believe this. It's going to be okay, Bubba. It's going to be all right. No, you don't understand. The last thing that I said to him was, I hate you. I hate the phone. I flew to Huntsville that day, and on Thursday, I met the family at the funeral home. We were discouraged from having an autopsy done because that would have meant having to wait 2 to 3 business days in order to have the funeral. And we weren't allowed to see him because his body had already begun to decompose. There'd be no open casket. When we went to his apartment, it was clean. We couldn't find anything. There were no pictures, his cell phone, no wallet. There was nothing in the house. We couldn't find his pistols. We couldn't find any of his jewelry. The only thing that was in the house were 3 photographs. One of me, one of my brother, and one of his girlfriend. Who cleaned? Who took out the trash? Where are his things? What happened? I knew that Aunt B would have the answers to that question. So I called Aunt B, and I met her at the one place that a walker goes to have a serious conversation. The bar. You want to get a booth or you want to sit up there at the bar? Well, Aunt B, why don't we get a booth? Yeah, I guess a booth would be more private. Oh, hey, John, how you doing? Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yep. Well, I go in for chemo next week. The doctor's got me on a liquid diet. All I've been drinking is Ensured Miller High Life. Yeah, this is Joe's son, Michael. Michael. You know the one that does that play acting up there in New York? Yeah. Well, John, I hope you feel better too. Roll Tide. Aunt B and I crossed to a table, kind of set up away from everybody, and she pulled out a pack of cigarettes. You got a light? No, I quit smoking. When did you quit smoking? About 7 years ago. Damn. Well, doctors told me to quit smoking, but I figured I got the cancer, so what's the point? Well, I wasn't there when they found your daddy, but I'll tell you what they saw. You see, your uncle said your daddy had taken a couple of days off of work. So nobody thought it was strange when they hadn't heard from him. But on Wednesday, your uncle tried to call him, couldn't get a hold of him, so went down there to his apartment, knocked on the front door, no answer. Went around to the back, looked in the garage, and saw him sitting there in his truck. Well, I'll tell you what we found when we went inside. Yes, can I get another Miller High Life, please? And a water. Oh, and can you clean up my ashtray, please? Thank you. Well, when we went into the house, there were empty pill bottles on the counter and empty pills all over the floor. And when they took your daddy out the car, there was an empty handle of vodka with him. And your uncle said he'd seen it with him on Saturday, unopened. So, well, Greg and Chuck, they cleaned out the house, they took out the trash, tried to get the smell out the car. Listen, I know that your daddy could have reached that CD player. I just didn't want you and your brother to think that... Well, I just want you to know the truth. Truth's a funny thing. What's true for me may not be true for you. Truth is fact. Truth is fidelity to an original. Truth is subjective. If what doesn't kill us is making us stronger, we're gonna last longer than the greatest wall in China or that rabbit with the drum. If there's one thing that I've learned while I'm waiting on my turn, is that in each life some rain falls, but you also get some sun. We'll make out better than okay. Hear what I say. Any day. Hey. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael Thomas Walker, for being on our Tin Roof Project here on Tales from the South. So I understand that you grew up in Huntsville, Alabama, at your family's Black Angus cattle farm. I'm curious, how did you get into writing, acting, and singing? And was your family supportive of this?
Yes, they were very supportive. On my mom's side, she plays the piano. My grandfather was an opera singer and a part-time opera singer. He also owned the lumber company in town, but... Part-time. But his father actually was in vaudeville, and his family owned the music shop in town for a very long time. And then on my dad's side, he's one of the best actors I've ever known. So, yeah, he was very supportive.
Are there any special skills that you learned growing up on the farm that you now use in your work?
You know, this is going to sound kind of artsy-fartsy, but one of the blessings that I had was to grow up in a city, you know, and Huntsville is very much a city, and then to have this time to go away where there were kind of no rules, and we were given 181 acres to just run and pick blackberries and throw cow biscuits at each other, and, you know, that kind of experience I feel like is what has fed me as a writer and an artist, is to kind of have best of both worlds of growing up in the country and growing up in the city.
I think I read this on your bio, on your website. One of your skills, does it say tractor driving on there? Yeah. Has that gotten you jobs?
No.
Okay.
I've actually used that more working at home. Like my dad would send me to Birmingham to go get a load of gravel or whatever, and being able to drive a dump truck was helpful. But no, in New York, they don't have many tractors.
How important do you think storytelling is? And did your family tell stories? Most Southerners, we kind of grow up with storytelling, but how important is it to you?
I think it's extremely important. We had a tradition at my house for major events or holidays. We would all sit around the table, and when dinner was over, you didn't get up. You stayed and you talked. And it was a time to let the older generation tell stories. And so the main storyteller in my family was my Aunt Louise, who, God love her, she had a stutter. And you would think that would inhibit her. But instead, it was like another level of, it was like, I don't know, it was the thing she used. It was a part of telling the story. So she would kind of, you know, stutter, and then land the joke. And it made it funnier, you know? She used it to her advantage. And now that that generation has passed on, my mom and my cousin May, Louise's daughter, they continue the tradition. I don't think they know they continue it. It's just what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick story. So my daddy was a colorful character. He had polio when he was young, and so he only grew to be about 4'10", 4'9". And he worked for the probate judge's office, and he was the clerk. And the probate judge in Madison County was Myrtle Green, and she was his cousin. And the mayor of Huntsville was Joe Davis, and that was his other cousin. So in 1976, he got indicted for embezzling $181,000. I didn't know any of this till after he passed away. And when he was indicted and found guilty, they sentenced him to 10 years in prison. But he spent the first 6 months of his term at the Madison County Jail. And when my father passed away, I went and met one of his best friends. His name was Tom Young. And that's who I'm named for, Michael Thomas. That's where the Thomas comes from. And Tom's 78 years old, and he worked for South Central Bell. He was the investigator for South Central Bell. So he did wiretapping. He knew what was going on. So I went to him and I said, "All right, Tom, give me the dirt. Let me know what happened, because there's just things I don't know about the past." And he said, "Well, I can't tell you everything, but I'll tell you this one story. So when your daddy was staying up there," and Tom's got this deep voice, "when your daddy was staying up there in the jail, he had him a good business selling aftershave. You see, the prisoners couldn't get a drink while they were up there. So what your daddy would do is sell them this aftershave, and then the prisoners, they'd take a slice of bread and pour that aftershave through the bread. That way they get the smell out of it. Well, that way they could have a drink. Well, I felt sorry for your daddy having to stay up in the jail all by himself. So I got him he got him a rollaway bed, and he got him a little footlocker, and he started bringing him booze. And what Tom would do is he'd put on his good boots, and he'd put a pint in either one. And then because he was the investigator for South Central Bell, they'd let him bring a briefcase, and they never checked it. And he'd have that stock full of liquor, too. Well, sure enough, one of those guys up there in jail gets out and gets arrested for DUI and proceeds to tell the police, "You can take me back to jail. I don't care, because Joe Walker's going to get me drunk anyhow." Come to find out, my dad had been bootlegging and selling the liquor that Tom was bringing him. So he stopped bringing him liquor. And then, and another quick story, Tom also told me about how he would help sneak my dad out on the weekends. this is how he phrased it. He goes, "Do you know old Bulldog?" I'm like, "Bulldog? Yeah, I've seen a Bulldog." No, the deputy sheriff at that time, his name was Bulldog. Bulldog Daniel. Well, Bulldog would let your mama come visit your daddy on the weekends and use his office, if you know what I'm saying. And he goes, "Well, Bulldog got tired of that after a while. He figured he'd just let your daddy go on home for the weekend." So what they do is they would sneak him out of jail and put him where he would lie flat in the back seat of Tom's car. And then they would drive him over to my mama's house, drop him off on Friday night, and then come back and pick him up on Saturday night and sneak him back into the jail. That way they could have conjugal visits. And I kind of laughed it off, and I certainly didn't ask my mother about it. And then I came across an article in the newspaper, August 1st, 1978, Huntsville Times. At one time, investigators were looking into certain prisoners who could purchase weekend passes and special privileges from certain public officials.
Yeah. Well, we have a few minutes here at the end for audience questions.
You're from the area, right?
I'm originally from Huntsville.
From
Alabama.
I call that the area.
Yeah.
So I wondered, living in the big city of New York, what's been your impression of the difference in life in the area versus the new area?
First of all, there are a lot of Southerners in New York, and we stick together. We find each other. Either it's a barbecue restaurant or an Alabama or Arkansas football game. We find each other, and especially if you're involved with the arts or with theater, we all kind of like have this little, I call it a mafia, you know, like an underground group that all get together. We do this show called Guerrilla Theater, and we actually perform it at the Pit, which is the People's Improv Theater. And it's literally a group of Alabamians that get together and do stand-up skits, sing songs, tell stories. So in a way, New York is not, we've kind of brought that along with us. But the other thing I notice is the pace. And it's not just driving in cars or, the pace in general. It's like I landed today and I was rushed, but you know, I landed and I literally was able to go, I could just not have to worry about a train or getting somewhere or there being thousands of people in Times Square while I'm trying to get somewhere. And I missed that. I missed that so much about the South. And the fact that people look you in the eye, they acknowledge you being a human being, that gets lost in New York. In New York, people are so egocentric and so centered on themselves that they sometimes put blinders up. And I feel like when I get here, people take even if it's disingenuous, they still will look at you and be disingenuous. Disingenuous. And that, for me, that helps. That's a nice, I guess.
Were you involved in the arts in high school? What was your high school like around the arts?
I started doing theater in high school, and it was kind of the thing that stuck. I did football, swimming, baseball. I did all of that. And it was okay. I was okay. But I got to do theater, and I got on stage, and it was like, oh, I like this. I get this. This makes sense to me. So after high school, I mean, I just always knew I was going to be an actor. I just didn't always know I was going to write and tell stories like this. But yeah, I started in high school and kept at it.
What were you doing in college that then took you from college, and how long was it before you went on to New York?
I went to the University of Alabama and did theater, was on scholarship there, and at the time it was associated with the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, so we had a lot of the actors from the festival come and teach classes, and I mean, it was having New York actors come and teach you, essentially, and that was such a wonderful blessing and a gift, and I feel I'm very privileged that I was there during that time. And when it came time for graduation, I looked around at Atlanta, which at the time, Atlanta now is like a huge hub for film and television and some theater, but that wasn't there. It didn't exist then. Austin was just starting to kind of come along, and it was New York or LA. And so I knew I wanted to be a theater actor. I knew I wanted to be doing live, and I wanted to do musicals. So I moved to New York and did a musical, and then kept doing musicals. And then after about 7 years of musicals, I was like, I want to do more. I want to do something else. So I decided to go back to school and went to Rutgers, trained there, and graduated from Rutgers, and then like right out of the gate, I booked an episode of Boardwalk Empire. I shot a new film with Liam Neeson. I started writing this play. So I'm kind of exploring new things for me right now. And it's been an interesting journey to get here.
So how about our story and storyteller tonight? Thank you so much, Michael Thomas Walker, for being on our Tin Roof Project here on Tales from the South. More can be found out about Michael at his website, michaelthomaswalker.com. Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle publication at aymag.com. Tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, with additional support provided by the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau, the Writers Colony at Derry Hollow, and the Oxford American, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Smart Radio, and you can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing, with additional support provided by AY Magazine, William F. Lehman Public Library, the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau, the Writers' Colony at Derry Hollow, and the Oxford American Magazine. Writer accommodations provided by Robinwood Bed and Breakfast. More at robinwoodbnb.com. Studio assistance provided by Infrared Studio Productions. Our graphics are by Robin Steves at Studio B. Our musician is Mark Simpson. Our stage art is by V.L. Cox. Our production engineer is Jay Jones. And our executive producer and host is Paula Morrell. Experience Tales in person as a member of our live audience. Schedule and ticket information can be found at our website, talesfromthesouth.com. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive. And we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.
I'm giving up Nashville in this deal, and I am thinking that this is for real, 'cause you have taken some of my joy, till there's none left for another boy. And I don't want some other man, 'cause I've had enough, dear, of the pots and the pans. And I've had enough, dear, of letting it lie and sitting back watching life pass me by. Maybe Nashville will be there when I come back again. Lord knows that one girl, she just can't always win. But I tried and I tried and Lord, I tried again. But I'll be back to see that Cumberland Bend. And I'm gonna miss my corner store with the beer and the lady man and the tales of yore. And I'm gonna miss my favorite bar with that fast kicking music and the country stars. And I'm gonna miss that morning sun coming off of that building, the tall shiny one. And I'm gonna miss the sound of that train coming into the city and rolling back out again. Now, 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 maybe Nashville will be there when Lord knows that one girl, she just can't always win. But I try.